Please do take a seat. And can I add my warm welcome to Sam's? As he mentioned at the start, my name's Kev. I'm the vicar of the church here, and it's just a total joy for us to welcome you with us as part of our Christmas celebrations. I hope you've enjoyed the readings as well as the carols. I always find it's easy, isn't it, to become hazy on the detail of what actually happened. The nativity's become so romanticized over the years. And that was why one of the newspapers did a survey of school children. Some of their haziness on the details are quite hilarious, actually. So one question was, what gifts did the wise men bring? Jay, aged 5, from Bristol, said the 3 wise men brought Jesus presents of gold, frankincense, and smurf. But I think he would have preferred wrestling toys. What animals were there when Jesus was born? Matthew, age 6, there were sheep, horses, and a crocodile outside the stable. And my favourite one, where was Jesus born? Charlie, age 4, in a stable, a long way away from here, Bethlehem. It's in Liverpool. Well, one important aspect of the detail that is often overlooked in the sentiment, I think, is how divisive a figure the Christ child really was. In that final reading that Mark gave us, I hope you can still see it, by the way, it's on side 3 of the sheet. Did you notice people either loved Jesus or they hated him? If you're here today because you're in town for the holidays, one of the annual festive attractions round this way is the Christmas lights down in Oxford Street. There you go, that's the new ones. Look like kind of flat screen TVs all the way down the street, I think. Some years they've had a corporate sponsor, and one of the weirder ones was Marmite. So there it was. You familiar with Marmite? Brown, thick, spread on toast, smells like old socks, disgusting stuff, in my opinion. And that's the point, of course, with Marmite. They say you either love it or you hate it. Hence, this was the screen down our way. You see, one of the elves is diving into the pot of Marmite, while the other one is throwing up into a Santa hat. Very Christmassy. The thinking, actually, with that display was that over the years, the Oxford Street lights have had a bit of a reputation themselves for being love them or hate them. And so it was deemed to be a perfect fit with the Marmite people. They say we are in an era of Marmite politicians, don't they? That they're increasingly loved or hated with not a lot of opinion in between. Again, that final reading suggests that the baby of Bethlehem was the ultimate Marmite leader. Is that surprising? I mean, ask most people what they see in that scene. My guess in this country, at least, is that the majority would be kind of in the middle of the spectrum, floating around from either indifference on one side to positively sentimental over here, maybe even wandering up into acknowledging that Jesus is the reason for the season. But responses of concentrated hatred in one direction and worshipful adoration in the other. Really? Well, yeah, if we've understood him properly. And so I wonder if you'll be able to just catch a glimpse with me of why such intense responses are entirely appropriate. I wonder if you've yet grasped both the challenge and the sensation of who this baby is. Let's look briefly at the famous story as narrated by Matthew, which, by the way, I'm holding a Matthew's Gospel. There's some in front of you. Feel free to take one away as our gift. It's one of the authorized historical biographies of Jesus. And see if you can see what I'm talking about. It's trendy for vicars to point out that there weren't actually 3 kings. There were 3 gifts and an undefined number of visitors. But it doesn't say there weren't 3, so I don't think we need to make a big deal about that. Though they weren't kings for sure, wise men is how they are described here, in a reading that mainly revolves around 2 different king figures. Did you see this from verse 1? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Can you feel the tension even in their question? Awkward to ask a man who thinks he's the king of the Jews. Where's the new king of the Jews? It'd be a bit like walking into Mark Zuckerberg's office and saying, "Delivery of flowers for the brand new CEO of Facebook." He thinks, "What?" as he switches on CNN to discover what no one else in the building has been brave enough to tell him. Hence, verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I think the reason all Jerusalem is troubled with him is because they know Herod. Apparently, he's one of the most popular characters in the school production, the pantomime baddie. But the people of Jerusalem knew the deadly reality. Even though Herod was a fairly local megalomaniac, he had a track record of being vicious. He'd had various family members killed off, including one of his wives. And you know, they say that when arrangements for Herod's funerals were being made, a funeral was being made, he requested that several other more loved officials be executed at the time of his death to make sure that there were proper tears around. Who needs enemies when you have friends like Herod? And the reason that the wise men are told not to return to him at the end of the reading is because in the very next paragraph, you'd see this if you read on in Matthew, he brutally orders the destruction of all the baby boys of Bethlehem. I don't know if they do that in the children's nativities. It kind of spoils the festive atmosphere, doesn't it? But the Bible's written in the real world of just how horrific human leaders can be. We'll see the opposite reaction from the wise men in a second, but don't think that the divide here is about those who get Jesus versus those who don't. No, Herod knows exactly who the Christ is. He hates the thought of someone else running the show. And though he's a particularly nasty piece of work, in the motives of his heart, he's not alone, is he? I wonder, on Christmas Day, will you be forced into wearing one of these? I'm always the Grinch figure who refuses to put it on. Kind of nice in regal purple, isn't it? But in the heart I have in here, do you know, I find it very easy to wear the crown of my life, my choices. Can you cope with a Christ who comes saying, "I'm here to rule you, to lead you"? He doesn't only claim Herod's crown off his head. He claims yours and mine. Herod finds this baby a challenge, and any of us who are honest will too. I will turn the sound down on Jesus probably more politely than Herod tried to. But you tell me you've come into my life to rule over me, I could hate you surprisingly easily. And that's tragic, because that's the story of a world gone wrong. 7 billion of us, all individually trying to wear the crown. It's a form of freedom, but it puts us at odds with each other as we fight for control. And worst, it leaves us under the judgment of the God whose good rule we've all tried to throw in the bin. Matthew's holding up these intensely different reactions to try and provoke a response in us. Herod or wise men, love him or hate him. So much for Herod. What about the wise men? Well, they were probably government officials, and their presence in the story can feel a bit random, but they're not just here to add a bit of exotic glamour to the Christmas cards. Matthew didn't invent them because he had a teacher friend who needed to find some extra parts for the children. No, they've traveled miles from Babylon, perhaps, the place God's people were exiled to. It's been mentioned three times already in this first chapter of Matthew's gospel. They were certainly from that direction. And the star they'd been following had alerted them to a game-changing birth. Just look at their reaction. I mean, sentence one, traveling all this way. Sentence 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's four words when you could use one to say, woohoo. And sentence 11, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, the mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. It's a baby. People do embarrassing things in front of babies, don't they? Some of the noises that come out of people's mouths, some of the faces people can pull, even on the underground. It's socially acceptable, it seems, to say goo goo gaga to a complete stranger. These guys are faces down in the dirt. Even the presents are from, well, Harrods, I guess. And the contrast could not be more concentrated. The difference is that where Herod sees a threat in the little town of Bethlehem, the wise men sees the hopes and fears of all the years being born in thee tonight. Bethlehem was a hamlet on the outskirts of the big city. If you think about London, it was a village in Zone 10. I don't know, is there a Zone 10? Liverpool's probably in Zone 10, I guess. And yet God was never afraid to work through the small and the weak to bring about cosmic purposes. A Christ, it says, means a savior for failed humanity's sins. A ruler, it says in verse 6, not just for Israel, but for the nations. These far-flung wise men who've come are a symbol of that. And a shepherd ruler, big enough and good enough to bear every one of the burdens you may be carrying this morning, and who one day promises to end all the wars and the weeping. Is a figure like that in your life a menace or pure joy? In other words, the question is, how's it going leading your own life? Is it possible you could do better than self-rule? Worship's a strong word, isn't it? It's what they were doing. It's a strong reaction about deep devotion and love. And you know, millions down through history and around the world today have found worship to be the appropriate response to Jesus Christ. There's never been a global movement like the Christian church. Here's a little Christmas quiz. What does Queen Victoria have in common with Kanye West? Not much, probably. She wasn't famous for her love of American rap music, as far as we know. But Queen Victoria, she's going to come up on the screen there. She's responsible for many of our Christmas traditions. By the way, if you wondered when did it ever become socially acceptable to bring a fir tree into your sitting room, she was the one that started it. And she said that she was looking forward to meeting Jesus. She really hoped that he would return during her reign so that she could cast her crown before the true king. Kanye West, there he is, the rapper, reflecting on his most recent album, just came out a couple of months ago, called Jesus is King. He said, when I was trying to serve multiple gods, it drove me crazy, the god of ego, of money, of pride. Now, I love Jesus Christ. Those are quite intense responses to the Christ child. You'd need to read on to see why they make sense. But all the way through Matthew, you see Jesus as a polarizing figure. He claims the right to talk to us about our behavior. He says things that what we think we would like God to be is not as important as the God that he reveals him to be. And in those ways, he's a challenge for sure. And yet he is compelling as he demonstrates raw power over evil, over nature, over death itself, with all the kindness of a shepherd who really cares. That's why I'd love to encourage you not to politely turn the sound down on him at the end of Christmas. Seriously listen to the grown-up Jesus. And the question that you will be confronted with in the end is, are you capable of being led? See, Jesus meets plenty of skeptics who walk away, not because of intellectual problems with the evidence. They could see his mighty power, but in their hearts, they just didn't want to give up wearing the crown. If you're trying to let Jesus lead you in your life, let me say this morning, you're no fool, no matter how difficult that can sometimes feel. But the ongoing challenge for all of us is, can you give up self-rule for a leader who knows you better than you know yourself, who can bear every one of your burdens, and who has good eternal purposes for you that are so much bigger and better than our very limited ambitions for our lives? The tragedy of Herod, all Jesus really wanted to do was liberate his life, his soul, and his agenda with you is the same. Love him or hate him? Well, please, I would encourage you, follow the wise men's lead. Seek the king and do not stop your journey until you're on your knees in adoration. And they fell down and they worshipped him.